Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Nice to see you, nice, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
Yep.
And Pete Donaldson.
Hello, Marcus.
Your hello there, Peter, was menacingly sexy.
It was quite laid back, but also with hope in it, I think.
You're sexy, but I don't trust you.
Oh, it's good to be back in your arms, ladies and gentlemen. What a weekend of football we've had.
Yes.
Everybody's had it.
Everybody's had it. That's going to pass it on.
That's the beautiful thing about television these days.
Are you welcoming?
It's like mumps.
Are you welcoming back into the Ramble bosom as well, Marcus?
Always into the bosom.
Yeah.
Although I feel I'm in the we're in the listeners' bosoms today. It's an away fixture for us.
So we can get a goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's been marvellous in the Premier League. We had a game at Wembley.
First ever Premier League game at Wembley.
My knees are all trembly.
Well, it was come on you Chelsea, wasn't it? They got a good win against Spurs at Wembers in Spurs' first home match of the season. And they always lose at Wembley, don't they?
Yeah, apparently.
That's the old thing.
Well, they won through force of character, if not skill. Yes.
As soon as Antonio Conte puts the suit on.
I did think mm. it was a role reversal, wasn't it? Because Pochi was in the tracksuit top, wasn't he?
Don't disrespect Wembley.
No.
That's what it is. And did Conte put it on just for Wembley? Will the tracksuit be coming back in the next game? We did talk about this.
That's a very, very interesting point, Jim, and one we should spend a good 5 minutes on, I think.
When I'm at home, I don't wear a suit.
Well, this is it. It's Conte's. He looks like he's lounging around like some mobster, dare I say.
Home from home.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But puts the suit on, and I think that transcended onto the pitch. Although it is a lovely tracksuit. It's a lovely colour.
Yeah.
You know?
It's still a tracksuit, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not going to inspire the same
And this is the thing.
Commitment.
Conte did say something interesting about Tottenham Hotspur. He said their opponents will enjoy playing Wembley this season.
Oh, I think they will. I think that's correct. I don't subscribe hugely to the... Beyond the sort of pitch dimension thing that we talked about last season, I didn't see anything in that game on Sunday which made me think, oh my God, they're really going to struggle at Wembley this season. Mm. They were a good team. They played well. They were very good either side of half time. Chelsea, I think, had two shots on target, two goals. One of them was an error. One was an absolute world class free kick that no one's going to do anything about.
Yeah. Mm.
I think there was an element of it being one of those afternoons for Spurs. And if they'd maybe been handed a slightly easier opening game at Wembley in the league, it would have been a completely different story. I mean, whether the media persists with this Wembley thing or not, from now on, it will remain to be seen. But it is important to remember that, by definition, those games Spurs are going to be playing at Wembley, or have played over the last 11, 12 games, whatever the stats say, they're by definition going to be very hard games, because they're going to be essentially Champions League games or games in the latter stages of the FA Cup. So they're going to be playing good teams. I mean, like teams, for example, like in 2010 when they played Portsmouth in the semi-final. they were beaten then. So that's just an example off the top of my head.
But on that occasion, perhaps unlike Sunday, they were beaten by the better side.
That would be scandalous for me to say. I think we'd have to put explicit on the podcast if I went with that.
Yeah, we're already talking about Portsmouth. Wonderful.
Sorry, Marcus, I was just going to say it was a really interesting game for lots of reasons. I've really enjoyed the way that Chelsea just thought, we are going to spoil the shit out of this.
Yeah.
Sunday on telly.
Flood the midfield.
Conte just doesn't care. First Premier League game in history at Wembley. On the telly. Everyone's having a lovely Sunday. We've just had the roast, having a beer, sat down. No. He had eight behind the ball at all times.
I mean, everyone's getting excited about this kind of like counter-attack and Catenaccio kind of system, but they invited a lot of pressure on themselves first half.
And dealt with it.
Mate,
he had a crisis to resolve, didn't he, after losing one game. So
apparently
he's going to go all out.
They seem to take until half-time to get their head around the actual formation, because Harry Kane at the post in the first half, people were just leathering off shots.
I thought Harry Kane and the August force field around the goals.
I thought Chelsea were excellent gentlemen.
I did too.
And I thought it was a very, very astute piece of tacticianship from Antonio Conte, because, as you say, Jim, they had a disaster on the first day of the season. That, then they're away to Spurs, on paper, one of their hardest games of the season. He could have said, right, up and at him, let's go and let's try and blow them away or something like that, which might have been stupid. So gone for the Catenaccio, bearing in mind two of his first choice defenders, one's not on the pitch and one's playing in the midfield. Mm. Christensen, young lad who was playing at Gladbach for the last two seasons, in he comes.
He played 90 minutes and completed 100% of his passes.
There you are.
The only player to do it that weekend.
Yeah, and he stopped all of Spurs players from scoring goals.
That's a curious bit of trivia, that, because I thought with the ball he looked very assured. That would sort of testament to that. I actually thought he really struggled defensively with Kane's movement and Kane's strength.
Yeah, well, that's to be expected.
And, no, of course, there's no shame in that. I mean, he's a young player, and Kane's, you know, probably the best striker in the division, so it's not a huge surprise. But I did think that the game was a bit of a game of margins. Like if Kane doesn't hit the post, and if Kane scores.
And then Willian hit the post.
No, absolutely. But
Morata with that chance.
Oh yeah, he really, really needed to be burying that.
I thought Morata actually had quite a poor game. I thought
it was a difficult one for him. I mean, coming to England, they people said that that his attributes will lend themselves to the Premier League. That's not surprising. He's one of the top strikers, you could argue, in Europe. Certainly his price tag, whatever that means, suggests. But, you know, ease him in, because the type of game that Chelsea played, it was quite difficult for him. It was difficult.
He was able to suck the ball out of the air, which is absolutely not his game.
The disconnect was the fact that they played with all these players behind the ball and played this defensive way. And Morata wasn't able to hold the ball up for him. And it didn't help. It made him look worse because Kane is so good at holding the ball up.
Very true.
At the other end of the pitch, it was sticking and sticking and sticking all day long. Mm-hmm. And Morata couldn't do that. And fair enough, he may not be that type of striker, and I understand that. The header he missed was a woeful miss. They've been looking for a striker as reliable in the big games as Drogba since Drogba left. He would have buried that. Drogba would have buried
Diego Costa would have buried that as well.
Probably would have done.
Not on the current form. He was not even in the country.
No. He wouldn't have got off the ground in current shape. No.
but with Chelsea, though, they realised what the danger would be. I thought he set them up very well. Well, they won the game, for crying out loud. I mean, they won the first Premier League game.
You're saying all of this with a big smirk on your face. No, they did steal it a little bit.
Yeah, they did, but I kind of like that they could turn up and support the party, you know. And
the party with the digital drummer, the microphoned up drummer.
Yeah, there was a drummer, wasn't there?
Yeah,
people thought it was just a track played on the speaker system, but it was the actual drummer.
The drummer with the microphone.
I like that they just said the second half, give it a rest.
Yeah.
Stop it.
That guy with the bell at Portsmouth, you still not got him out, have
you?
Can't
stop him. I think there's some sort of legal loopholing around and then he has to be at game.
It's got to be a bylaw, hasn't it?
Tell you who's better at banning John Westwood with the bell. The away grounds are good at banning him. Yeah. The amount of times he goes to the away grounds, he can't get in. He gets to front park every week. I've actually, back in, this is a pointless trip down memory lane, but just quickly, back in the day when I wasn't able to have a season ticket because I didn't live in the area, so I'd only go every so often. You would get a ticket in the Fratton end, and you wouldn't know where you're going to be. And seriously, for a period of time, the biggest thing on my mind was be pleased not next to him.
Mm. You don't want two bells next to each other.
Hey, there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I always used to try and make a note of where I used to sit, but I always forgot.
You need an app or something.
If you're next to him,
I might near him.
If you're next to him, it ruins the game. I'm telling you that now.
Does he just ding dong his bell all the time?
What's the closest you got to him?
Oh, five or six seats away.
Oh, mate.
Does he try and tattle your face when you're not looking?
There's a drummer as well next to him. He bangs this big drum the whole time, yeah.
Anyway. Drums can just do one.
And they drown out your witty comments about the game.
Isn't it? It's because of the nature of social media, Spurs knew, let's stop doing this by half-time.
Instantly. I hope they just got the kid out. Just get out. Get out of Wembley.
I don't understand the thought
process. Beat the crowd.
The total process behind how it actually happened. But I don't really like the idea of everyone having like a brainstorm and going, right, we're going to get the best stuff out of Wembley. But the best thing from Wembley is, I know what you're thinking, the band.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't thinking that.
World-class PA system.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking the band.
Yeah. The uninspiring free-flowing attacking football. Yeah. No, we're not that. Yeah.
Daniel Levy bought a lot of speakers off a man in a van outside. It was on his way to the Ministry of Sound, so he's got to use them.
That's true.
Genuinely have all the classics of modern Wembley, doesn't it, sadly?
He probably bought them in instalments and he'll sell them on for a profit.
It was a good win for Chelsea. Chelsea
had two shots on target and two goals. Obviously, Lloris made an error for the second goal, and I was very critical of Peter Cech a week or so ago. Mm. And I still maintain that he's a goalkeeper in the decline, and maybe we'll talk a bit about him later on when we have to talk about Stoke, which would be a highlight for everyone.
For three of us, I think it might.
I mean, Lloris has made other high-profile errors in recent memory. I mean, the one against Chelsea we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. One against Monaco in the Europa League a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Two against Man City. One against Arsenal where he let a Sanchez shot through his legs. One for France against Sweden not that long ago. I don't think that was even the summer just gone. So he has got a clanger in him, Lloris. It's not a huge surprise.
I think we just had this kind of time. We had for 5 years where every keeper was good at shot stopping. And now it's just not as important anymore. Now it's passing out from the back, delivery, positioning. we don't worry about the actual stopping of the ball.
There was a phase, a period of time where people used to always say, oh yeah, but he's a great shot stopper. And I always used to say, well, at that level, all keepers are good shot stoppers.
Yeah, but we want postmodern goalkeepers who doesn't matter about shot stopping.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They find alternative means to keep the ball out of the net.
Profile. Helmets.
Is it like a defender? If a defender never has to make a tackle, you know he's a good defender.
That's right.
Yeah. If he never has to make a save,
if a striker doesn't need to score a goal, then the team's really good.
And just when we're dishing out sort of praise and criticism, we should also mention that Marcus Alonso was absolutely superb. I mean, he was absolutely superb.
That free kick was just delightful.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
I don't think Danny Rose will go to Chelsea because Spurs don't tend to sell players to Chelsea. He's probably more likely to go to Man United based on Mourinho's comments over the weekend.
And his own.
Yeah, but why would they want him anyway? Mm. I mean, he's not played for a long time. He's going to take ages to get fully fit again. They need to win games. And Marcus Alonso, if Danny Rose is at peak form, the best left-sided left-back or whatever in the Premier League, Alonso's got to be second.
But if they play with wing-backs, then Danny Rose, that's a job he can do. And competition for places, a lot of games.
I don't know if they were ever in for him. It was just because, they thought it was a way to maybe unsettle the squad a little bit ahead of that game.
I think a bit of mind games from Chelsea
where,
there.
Where did the Barkley to Spurs story go? Because I know he's injured and stuff, but they still seem quite keen, which I don't really understand.
I think that's come back up today as well. Both Chelsea and Spurs are rumoured to be interested in Barkley. It'd be interesting to see what happens with that one.
It would have to be at the right price, though, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Yeah,
You're a player who can deliver.
Need him?
Yeah, exactly. I just don't understand why any side would necessarily need him because he is kind of a bit of an up and down player at that age as well.
I guess that you're gambling that's going to stop sooner rather than later.
And
Everton have had all of his kind of mistakes. What Arsenal are really good at doing, developing players, absorbing all those mistakes, and then moving them on against their will.
Very true. That Chelsea midfield, as we talked about, Kante, Luis, and Bakayoko.
Yeah, he
was particularly good.
Marauding.
He really kicked a ball, really.
He looked just the right side of a massive loose cannon.
Yeah.
he just stayed on the right side of the law. He's an anti-hero.
He could have a fantastic season.
When he's fit, you'd imagine he would be, yeah.
But then Spurs, Dyer and Vertonghen, well, they both should have been sent off for their challenges.
Dyer's was took two players out in one, which is great to see.
Could we have seen two red cards there?
But
one for him and one for that one.
Pochettino took Dyer off.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people were commenting that Wanyama looked absolutely shot to bits.
Yeah.
He looked dead on his feet, and obviously it was partly his error for the goal. There's three errors in a row, really. Lloris putting it out to him, him losing the ball, and then Lloris again. You wonder whether he should have just dragged off Wanyama and kept Dyer on. I know he probably took Dyer off because he didn't want him to get sent off. But I also thought it was confusing that he didn't play Walker Peters either, because Trippier was sort of rushed back and had a really poor game. I mean, you could see Dyer moving across to the right to support him so Trippier could go forward and try and affect the game in an offensive manner, but it just didn't really work. I thought, given that Trippier didn't look fully fit to me, Walker Peters would have been on cloud nine after his performance against Newcastle. I probably would have played him.
Yeah, well,
it was a heck of a match, basically, and we needed that after the stinker that was Huddersfield Newcastle.
Oh, my God.
Come on with that in just
we've got 15 minutes planned for that.
It's just you apologising.
We've got
15 minutes, and most of that's going to be taken up by all the players that Benitez has been sanctioned to sign.
Well, Spurs are at home against Burnley next. Tell you what, Burnley, they've got form for London this season. Could be another lovely afternoon.
Did you see them against West Brom? I know you didn't. I already know the answer.
They're better away. Their away from home form will be their home form was last season.
Okay.
They're going to flip reverse it.
That's my solid prediction there. But just one more point about Chelsea. I love the fact that you can play all those men behind the ball as long as you've got Willian in front of the ball.
Yeah.
He will chase everything. He's just magnificent. Yeah. Absolutely magnificent. Chelsea play Everton. Wayne Rooney's Everton next. But we move on to Hesse. Got the only goal on his debut, of course, for Stoke City. And might I say, Hesse and Stoke 1, Luke Moore, in his opinion, is nil.
I think that Hesse looks a really good player.
Change your tunes, suddenly, eh?
The problem is it's difficult for me because I've had a pop at Czech and I wondered if he could have done a bit better with that and help me out. he's not going to help me out, is he, after he's done what I said?
I did suggest that Hesse playing with some other one or two flair players that Stoke have up front could flourish, and it was Saido that slotted him in.
A passage of play from Saido Berahino. I mean, I for one am shocked at this result, and I don't know how anyone could have predicted this. it was very frustrating to watch yet again. But here we are. This is what we've come to expect down at the old Bet365. It's maddening, frankly. So go on.
What?
Is that it, Jim? Is that all? That's all me. I know you're waiting, Jim. Is that all?
Get out of the way. It's a very Arsenal performance and Arsenal result, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, Mark Hughes very pleased. Of course, he won't be very pleased that Arsene Wenger didn't look him in the eye when shaking hands post-game.
Did he actually say that?
No, but I think he.
What did you guys think of Gerrard's comments about Ozil?
Right. This is interesting. Steven Gerrard saying that Mesut Ozil's a liability on BT Sport. A lot of people having a go at Ozil.
So I think a lot of... I mean, that was a leading question.
Yeah.
I've got an opinion on it.
Oh.
I think people get confused between Ozil with the ball and Ozil without the ball.
Yeah,
so,
I think you're right.
What Gerrard, I think, meant... And I can't remember if he said it explicitly or not, but what I think he meant was, without the ball... that he's just not in there. He's not involved. I think Gerrard did actually say. I think he said they're playing with 10 men without the ball. And I sort of agree with that. I know that Ozil delivers a lot with the ball, and his stats seem to bear out the fact that what his body language belies, if you like it, and he looks like he might not be as involved as he actually is. But without the ball, I don't think he makes a contribution really at all. And that was kind of
his forte, wasn't it, for a long time, making space and pulling players around, isn't it?
But part of that,
before he joined Arsenal,
that is positioning off the ball, though. How he creates that space with giving options.
But you're talking about going forward, Pete. I think Luke, you're talking about when he's defending.
I did a little bit of reading around. around it. And I found an interesting comment from Carlo Ancelotti when he was at Real Madrid. And he said that he was happier to move on Ozil than he was Di Maria because he thought Ozil didn't fit into what he was trying to do. Now, Ancelotti is a very classy character and he is very, very good at keeping those top players happy. So you wouldn't expect him to be explicit in his criticism of a player. I don't think that's his style, really. But I think there's a lot of pointed remark in that, in him saying that. I think
there is, yeah.
There's a reason that him and Ozil, him and Sanchez are no longer at the very, very top of the game. I just don't. If you look at the sort of the dialogue and the narrative around Ozil and Sanchez, and are they going to move on from Arsenal? Are they not? I know the Ozil thing's quieting down, but Sanchez, I mean, they haven't moved. I mean, why haven't clubs?
Clubs have come in for Sanchez, but Arsenal have just insisted that he's not for sale. Ozil's more of an interesting point, absolutely. But I think Sanchez will go when his contract runs down. But Arsenal just don't want to lose him for reasons that we went into last week. About the finances. I think we went into it last week, did we not?
We did it to an extent. I wonder whether Ozil and Sanchez are very, very top players often enough.
I think there's a strange sort of split in the camp with Arsenal fans, not just over the manager, over many, many things. It feels like any criticism of Ozil will be answered with sort of his pass completion stats and things like that, and they are generally always very, very impressive. And I saw some stats last season. I can't exactly remember where they came from, but it was basically he regularly runs a greater distance than Alexis Sanchez, and obviously because Sanchez has that burst of pace we're so used to. I wonder if we're kind of blinded a little bit by that in the Premier League or in football in general, and that, you know, we think players sort of work harder and do more because Ozil, you know, people talk about his language, body language, and whatnot. He's always moving the ball. He's always giving an option. But it is that defensive side of the game, which he is so wanting for that. And, you know, if you've got a player like that and you're making that sacrifice, because, you know, Arsene Wenger must know that he can't, you know, he's not going to put in a tackle high up the pitch. You've got to have a midfield built to accommodate that player. You've got to have players around there that where he can lose the ball or not even try to win it back, and have players in there mopping it up. And at the moment, that is not clicking. Arsenal's central midfield was a big problem last season without Santi Cazorla, and it's similar this season. Ramsey and Xhaka seems to be the best kind of fit of the players we've got. But Xhaka's twice misplaced passes that have led to goals this season already. So it's just it's about clicking further back, and I don't think we have the midfield to accommodate Ozil's talents with what he has lacking.
I wonder if Ozil is maybe a luxury player.
Quite. I mean, that's the definition of it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, I'm not saying that he's, his attacking play, his forward play is excellent, but as you say, Luke, it's all about that lack of tackling.
Is it fair to say that his pass completion is very high because he's happy just to play simple passes and do a lot of play in front of the defence?
At the weekend, he had four key passes in the game. So he does, I mean, there was a good chance for Hector Bellerin that Bellerin didn't put away. You know, it's not Ozil's fault, is it? He's making chances, putting them on a plate. But, it's a funny one. He's a strange player like that.
I find it very hard to work him out. I also found comments that Wenger made after the game quite interesting because he said he brought on Walcott to cross to Giroud, which, I mean, Walcott can't cross it. He can't cross it. And he hasn't assisted Giroud in the Premier League since 2013. So, I mean, Walcott had two assists in total in the league last season. Justification of
Giroud
that.
Giroud made a difference when he came on. He does bring little something. And Wenger said Xhaka made a stupid mistake for the goal, of course. Lacazette's equaliser. It was 100%.
It was a wonderful finish. That's as tight Wenger, as you're going to see, isn't
Wenger
it?
He was coming out with all the same Wengerisms. And I think that when we see Arsenal doing the same things on the pitch, it was the same old Arsenal, but it's the same old Wenger as well.
Well, it's familiarity breeding contempt.
Exactly.
There's no way people would be having the conversation they're having about it after the second game if it wasn't Wenger.
I thought Wenger might have taken a leaf out of Real Salt Lake coach Mike Petke's book when handing out photos in a press conference.
This was absolutely amazing.
To prove his thoughts on the game. Because Wenger does like say this, that and the other, I didn't see it and this happened. And if you saw this, ladies and gentlemen, Salt Lake City coach, he handed out photos in a press conference to prove his player was fouled at a crucial moment during the match.
Who printed this out for John?
Mike Petke is the guy, long-term listeners of The Ramble. Do you remember the famous coach?
Oh, was that him?
That's Mike Petke. Because he used to be the coach of the New York Red Bulls.
Right, okay.
He was absolutely fuming. I've never seen a manager more angry. And the best thing was he
printed out in colour. Wasteful.
He had it printed out in colour, and he kept saying to his assistant, who was brilliantly called Trey. Trey, pass these out, Trey.
Yeah.
Pass these out, Trey.
Serve them up, Trey.
On the tray. On Trez Tre.
He also said at some point, if I do not do what I do, you mean lose my temper, he means, I cannot sleep for the next 4 weeks.
Lose his temper.
Yeah.
Well, is it just simmering the whole time?
Yeah. And he also said, I had two more examples of this, but the freaking printer didn't work.
Probably ran out of credit, and he's printing us about all the time.
And he finishes the point by saying, he sort of trails off by saying, but the freaking printer didn't work, but... We'll get them out to you, don't worry. We'll get them sent to you.
We're all right, thanks.
All the journalists are just like, nah. Don't yeah.
Well, thank goodness for that.
At one point, because he's talking about his player getting punished unfairly for some particular physical altercation, which he thinks was innocuous. And one of the handouts he gives out and is he starts going, look at him, that's a freaking headlock.
He does. He's in a headlock. A freaking headlock.
Very WWE.
Oh, it's great.
It'd be amazing if he just came out with like those little kind of models of. Famous poems that kids make at school. Dioramas. Have you made like a diorama of the situation? Or maybe like made one of those science volcanoes. And that's how angry I am! Yeah. That's how mad I am!
Pass it around!
Get bike on your face!
If you merge Spurs' the base of Spurs' midfield, it would be a diorama, of course. Think about that, everybody. No. That was bloody excellent.
You mixed up the word dire and dire.
Any more side poems?
To producer, Wanyama, did you say? Sorry.
You see, you didn't think about it. You see?
Didn't hear it.
As soon as
you start getting punny,
and it's that,
I close my ears. Well, my ears just skin over.
Yeah, something about your system shuts down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a firewall for puns in your programming?
I'd like to see Mike Petka just come into a press conference next week with a massive strip of magnesium.
Look at this, guys.
Blind if I'm in the room. That's how angry I am right now.
I've been staring at the eclipse for the last 3 hours. Oh, I can't see anything.
You're all blind anyway. You couldn't see that red card.
But it was a great win for Stoke.
It was.
And Mike, I'm pleased for and I'm pleased with Mark Hughes. And I'd say one of the signings of the summer, it could turn out, was Darren Fletcher going there.
Yeah, Mark.
Not that he was I didn't think he was particularly wonderful during the game, but you know,
just a very reassuring presence, wasn't
he? Absolutely.
Darren Fletcher is a very reliable babysitter.
Darren Fletcher.
You go out and have a lovely time, your kids are going to be fine.
Darren, he's someone who he's in charge in a midfield, isn't he?
Yeah.
Darren Fletcher is if you're on a friend of mine got on a flight once. And I can't remember, it was long haul, and the pilot said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be leaving London, da, 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 so on and so forth, and the little spiel, and he said, might be a little bumpy to begin with, but don't worry, this aircraft is exceedingly powerful. a posh pilot, that's
what you want.
They all have the sort of same voice, don't they?
Someone once told me...
Well, some airlines, Peter.
I love hearing that. Someone once told me they got on a flight in Melbourne, or somewhere in Southern Australia, and it was a flight to Sydney. And basically, the Australian captain came over on the PA and just went, "G'day, we're going to Sydney."
We want a competition, God. Sir.
I'm getting off.
That's all you need, is it?
Oh, dear, dear. Right, after the break, we're going to be talking about Huddersfield, Manchester United, and maybe even Javier Hernandez.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I better go to Cashpoint and get some money if I've got any money left.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, man like Robbie up in here.
Right. How did our best bet of the week go from the preview show?
Our best bet of the week didn't go well.
It was close to, wasn't it?
It was, well, he got the result wrong.
That's how I writ bets.
Is that how you go into the bookies? But yeah, it was close.
Morgan Ryan's best bet of Bet365 was Spurs to win and both teams to score, of course. Both teams did score, but Chelsea won the game, unfortunately for all the Spurs fans out there. So we're looking for a new contestant for this week's preview show. Get in touch at show@thefootballramble.com and do put something helpful in the subject line, because we get quite a few emails. It makes it easier for me. Yeah. All right.
Before we talk about Huddersfield and Newcastle, we are going to go to correspondence with PED.
Correspondence. The first one comes from Andrew. Hi, guys. You mentioned in the previous show Spurs sending wedding congratulations.
Yes.
Remember that? A few years ago, my brother was a groomsman for his friend's wedding. He wrote to Spurs asking if he could send a signed letter offering their well wishes. Spurs duly obliged, but by the time it had arrived in South Africa, AVB, who had signed the letter, had been sacked as manager.
Oh, no.
My brother then had to write back and ask if they could send a new letter. Michael Dawson, as club captain, signed this new letter, and then at the end of the season moved to Hull City. But let's just be grateful it wasn't signed by AVB's replacement, Tim Sherwood. Regards, no. Andrew. Thank you for that. Hello to Ewan. Hi, chaps. If you haven't heard the Michael Owen Gowing Law personal injury solicitor's radio ad, I think you'll find it both amusing and soul-destroying in equal measure.
Oh, I think I've heard it. I know what it's like to be injured, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's apparently their new ambassador. I've not heard it yet, but apparently...
Embarrassing. He says in the advert, I've definitely heard it.
Well,
here's the
quote. Yeah. I'm Michael Owen, and I know what it's like to be injured.
Yeah.
Turns out you can put a price on a man's dignity. Yeah. Imagine being the person who pitched the idea to him, and then him agreeing. So, yeah, thank you for that, Ewan.
He's probably never heard a radio programme.
Feel free to join the army. Yeah. Madness. Taylor Wilson says, furthermore, Saturday I saw Claridge starting himself. Steve Claridge. News about Steve Claridge. We had news a couple of weeks ago about...
They played Fair and Town.
Yeah, more news.
He's 51, isn't he?
51. Yeah. He started himself in an FA Cup tie against Fair and Town. He won the penalty that was then missed and then set up three blinders that were also missed.
Right, wow.
51 years of age!
Because he brought himself on last time, I believe, when he had two young strikers on the bench. He thought, do you know what?
This is a job for me. Yeah.
Well, he scraped past 3-2 in the end with 51-year-old Claridge, one of the best players on the pitch. Madness, says Taylor Wilson.
It's great.
That was the same guy. He must be our official Steve Claridge correspondent. Have you been following him around?
He replied to his own email, which I quite liked.
On the Facebook highlights of the week, which I compile and give to you, one I didn't include, but I thought I'd mention this, quite a lot of people are saying, Pete, that you're starting to look a bit like Richard Madeley.
What?
Does that even work?
I'm sure that's not.
I guess
really?
That makes me your Judy Finnegan. Sadly.
Well, you certainly got the bra. Yeah. So, yeah, so...
And the vodka.
So if you want to get involved, at thefootballramble.com. She's literally an alcoholic, Luke.
Yeah.
Joel McGowan says, on his highlights of the week. Do you want to do highlights of the week now?
Do them now.
Joel McGowan has to be this Warsaw fan. He booked a hotel that was cheap and only 11 miles away from Portsmouth. We heard about this. Turns out it was on the Isle of Wight. And he had to catch a ferry to and from again. But people are pointing out that he tweeted about the hotel before... He got there, which is a bit weird.
He's trying to get attention on the internet.
Just sounds like you're trying to get
attention. You wouldn't catch us four doing that.
No, God, no. God, no.
You wouldn't catch us four on the Isle of Wight. Actually, you go to the Isle of Wight every year, Pete.
I do go to the Isle of Wight every year for the Isle of Wight Festival.
No, Black Gang Chine.
They've got Northern Line trains as their train system, which is
wicked,
fascinating.
Isn't it?
It's weird.
Great. They're really old.
Really weird.
Fact about Pete, he is actually a casual fossiler. That's why he goes to the Isle of Wight every year.
To check out the fossils.
Bellum Knights.
Just casually, though.
Yeah, casually.
I do like the Owl and Monkey Sanctuary. I do like that place. It's lovely. Stuart says, my highlight was after 6 years of training and being that guy at the club who everyone likes but isn't particularly good at football, I finally made my debut for Ambassadors FC in the Northern Irish Mid-Ulster League.
Ambassadors FC always represent themselves very well, and others.
A team I believe Marcus knows of already.
One for the younger listeners again.
I came on with 7 minutes to go and touch the ball once. Well worth the wait.
Oh.
Was it a goal? I think he would have mentioned it.
Yeah.
If it was.
Yeah. Peter Blow. Jonathan Moss's positioning of his magic spray. Not the traditional back of the shorts, but up front and centre. Hashtag phallic.
I
didn't see that. So
that,
he had
that
his...
I think it's in the Man United game.
Why didn't he just let it off? That'd be hilarious to end the game.
What was the chap's name?
This is Peter Blow.
Okay.
Yeah. You're right.
You're right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Leave that there.
Let's leave that there. And finally, for now, Josh Andrew, my highlight is the emergence of Yeovil being the team to watch this season. What they lack in quality, they make up in sheer entertainment. So far, they have lost the opening match 8-2 after being 1-up, won their second 3-2 after being 1-down, and lost their third 4-3 after being 2-up. Here's hoping we go behind this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the Yeovil had a very...
classic Yeovil. Yeah. Finishes it with.
Yeovil had a very good first few weeks. They were 3-1 up at one point at the weekend, lost 4-3. Two of their fans were kicked out for setting off flares, and they've conceded 14 league goals in 3 games.
Fans aren't the club's fault.
Not boring in Yeovil, which I'm surprised to learn.
Yeah. My highlight of the week was probably Robson Kanu's goal. It was really good.
Not sending off.
And then he got sent off about 10 minutes later, which he's doing his best to lift... the world's shittest game. Second shittest game, because we're going to talk about the Huddersfield game in a minute.
True
fact. And also, don't let Watford slip under the radar unnoticed.
This was magnificent.
You want to talk about that particular incident? Yeah, I was just going to say they've looked good so far, and they've got a few easy fixtures coming up as well.
It's Harry Arter. Basically, Nathan Chalobah had the ball coming over for him, didn't he? Harry Arter said something. Chalobah left it. Thinking that it was one of his own players. But you were saying before we came in here, there's some confusion over their code words.
Eddie Howe gave a very MI5 type interview where he starts talking about code words.
Oh, wow.
And how they're going to have to change their code words around because it sounds like their code words are the same as Watford. It's all very bizarre.
It's all a bit Bournemouth identity, isn't it? Oh, wow.
Yeah, look, you got a giggle out of me.
Yeah.
What's that, eh?
Yay?
See, Marcus,
when
they work, you don't have to signpost them.
Well, then, Huddersfield Town, they've started life very well in the Premier League, of course. 2 wins out of 2. Adrian Moy. Is that Adrian Moy?
I believe so.
His name is actually Aaron Moy.
Aaron Moy, you're absolutely right. I've even written down Aaron Moy.
It's Moy, yeah.
Very poor from me there.
Yeah, that's okay.
Giddy from the...
You can't take the goal away from him. Part.
No, you can't. And he said all the players have bought into Wagner's no limits philosophy.
Okay.
Which I quite like. No limits.
Do you know what I really liked about them? They're a team that finished quite a long way behind Newcastle last season, but they look so compact and so driven as a unit. And Aaron Moy is the beating heart of that side. He was fantastic. So like, hard working and organised. He took his goal really well as well.
Very nervy at the back door, like in the back four. They were simply making passes they didn't really need to make.
Passing box.
Newcastle did not punish them.
I was going to say, if you're going to experiment, you know, kind of training matches, Marcus, like that are the ones to do it.
You can afford to do that. Yeah. Don't stress about it. They're playing Mbemba at left back.
Yeah.
The man's got two
marauding. Marauding Chancel Mbemba.
Chancel Mbemba kept looking over at the bench saying, I've played football before, but this is very, very strange for me.
Every time he went on the center circle, he was like, what do I do?
Yeah. I love it. I love
Where
it.
Do I go?
Jim, did you enjoy this particular helping of Premier League action?
Well, it was kept me busy, I suppose.
Could you sleep on the couch?
I'm really funny, lads. Newcastle are on the telly a lot in the next couple of months, so enjoy. Drink it in.
I've seen goalkeepers pull notes out of their sock, but Mbemba had a map.
You wouldn't think that, you know, Newcastle were the sort of seasoned Premier League team looking at that, would you? Huddersfield playing their first home Premier League game ever. They certainly look like the, you know, more experienced, less terrified. I think
Huddersfield are going to surprise a lot of people this season because they're just so robust and they kick the crap out of people. And they'll take a while to get found out. I think we said that at the start of the season.
It's a testament to how boring I found the game that I looked over my notes and it said, Phil Billing, pleasing name. Phil Billing.
That is quite a pleasing name.
Sounds like the film that Tarantino never made.
Yeah, right.
It was the game that didn't deserve that goal. I know that for a fact.
Is it Yessel, the keeper of Huddersfield? He made a brilliant save from Matt Ritchie. Such a good save of the weekend that was. Yeah. And I was delighted that Hoslew didn't score. Jeez, that would have been a terrible weekend.
He had the ball and I thought...
Especially when you think Steve Bruce's Villa won as well.
Bruce's Villa won. Hesse scored. And I thought if he put that away, you'd have been hanging out to dry.
Hoslew and Atsu, I thought, played okay. Crappy side.
I mean, they played okay, Peter. You know, you paid £5 million for it.
Marcus, if there's one thing you want, it's like two of your players playing okay in a 1-0 defeat.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I mean, to look on the bright side, two of our players did okay.
Yeah. Did okay. did okay.
I can't enjoy anything Matt Ritchie does because he was moved on from Portsmouth by Steve Cotterill, who because he was no better than we've already got.
Steve Cotterill.
Now playing, he's literally a starting Premier League forward.
Yeah, at least he's trying.
Yeah.
At least he's
trying. A couple of players did okay and one of them's trying.
Rafa looks a defeated man. I think
that team looked like Rafa went, don't bust your guts because we need players.
Do you want a Mostradamus shout?
Please.
What?
Rafa to be Palace manager by January.
I like that.
You like that?
I do like that.
Yeah, you like that.
You like that.
It would have to be further up the country than that. It's too far away from Liverpool. That's where he lives, isn't it? So.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, all right. Well, ooh, you never know.
I mean, you spent the last how many years working in Newcastle.
Yeah. Good point.
London is the cultural hub of the UK. Yeah,
so maybe.
I mean, the man's a Chelsea legend as well. Maybe the Palace board will
create a high speed four from Rafa's home to Crystal Palace.
I just realised they'll be based in Croydon. Scratch what I just said.
Home of Nestle.
Yeah.
Where Roy Hodgson's from. Mm. Should have gone for him, some might say. Maybe they will in January. Manchester United scored a lot of goals. They scored four goals in their opening two matches for the first time since 1907.
Swansea are having a great time of it.
They're not having a good time of it, are they? They've just signed Sam Clucas, though.
Woo.
Sam Lucas.
Sam Lucas is a good player. He's a good solid operator, but I mean, he's not going to replace Sigurdsson.
If he has a good, go on, Jim.
I was going to say probably not necessarily brought in as a direct replacement. That would be slightly mad. I wonder who they're going to get.
Sigurdsson was such an important player for Swansea. They're going to start off a couple of goals behind every game.
Yeah.
If they don't start replacing the chances he made. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Lucas, he finished the season well with Hull, although, I mean, they did go down, so he's a decent player at some level, but you're right, he's not a.
The Man United carved him up, and the Man United look a very good, strong, physical team. And you know what? They've got a chance to build up a real head of steam this season. They've got Leicester at home next, Stoke away, Everton at home, Southampton away, Palace at home. I mean, they could win every single one of those games. Yeah,
really cool. I thought Pogba's finish was so composed he'd had one chalked off because Bae sneaked in, didn't he? And studded it into the net.
Bae was like a man on the absolute mission.
Yeah.
Bae was like a man in a Hollywood movie who's just seen like his wife and children be killed. He was just that's it.
Yeah.
Mad. Absolutely mad. I thought he was going through the net.
And punish that ball.
Yeah. It was
Mel Gibson esque.
When he celebrated, run off towards the touchline, you could see the lines, but didn't know what to do. Yeah. I've got to run back to the halfway line now. Good.
Yeah. You get the feeling that. That Manchester United team at the start of last season, that would have just been a 1-0 win for them, or even a draw, maybe.
Absolutely.
3-3 8 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, quite. As we've said about Mourinho's sort of best teams before, they can power to a casual 4-0 win and then build a title winning season on it, and this looks absolutely no different. And Pogba, like, in terms of his body language, could have been sent off, yeah. But his body language, he looks way more comfortable, doesn't
purposeful,
he? Purposeful and with swagger.
Yes.
It's really noticeable.
The only thing you would level at Man United and leave at their door as a bit of criticism at this stage would be, do they look a little bit threadbare beyond their first 11? A few people have said that they might do going forward. I actually think they might do at the back. I know they didn't concede many goals last season, but they weren't really doing anything last season. I
mean, Zlatan's been seen jumping off his butt. He'll be back.
Zlatan will be obviously a great addition for them in more ways than one. But last season, United weren't really playing games. They were more sort of like fulfilling calendar.
Appearances, wasn't it? Harlem Globetrotters, but without any entertainment.
Man United's season last season in the league could be summed up by the following sentence. Look, I said I'll go, so I'll go.
Yeah. There's a very, very much a sort of Prince Philip approach.
I'll show my face.
A man accompanying his wife to a wedding that he knows nobody.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drink in the car by myself.
No, he's driving.
He's not drinking. He's got the kid in his arms.
Yeah, so you wonder what they'll do when the games start adding up. Because I also think at the back, I'm not sure if Mourinho knows his best back four and all that stuff. And if you do scratch beneath the surface of their forward players, there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of quality in depth there. So that'll be a concern. But as I said, they've got a really kind fixture list to start with, and that could mean they're quite difficult to catch.
I think they'll add players as well. Yeah. Jermaine Genus made some interesting comments about their fullbacks not bombing on, not playing sort of high up enough, which is interesting. Because, their play was like that last season, and that I think that's how they had a lot of those home draws, from not having that width. And I wonder if he's just banking on having players like Pogba and Lukaku and Matic, whether he can just force the issue through the middle, or whether there is something into sort of him looking at Danny Rose perhaps to get exactly that.
He said he needs a quality left-sided player. Mm. And Junius was actually really good at the weekend. I forgot to mention it in the Spurs-Chelsea because we didn't want to get too bogged down, but he made some really good points about Spurs' fullback as well on Match of the Day 2. If you get that on catch-up, it's worth watching. Very, very interesting.
Very much so. We're worried for Swansea, aren't we?
Yeah, you have to be, I think, yeah.
I mean, especially with Llorente out and Key injured, they are struggling.
You know, when I was bagging on Stoke at the start of the season, I actually meant Swansea.
You did mean Swansea. Yeah.
Stokesy.
My geography around that part of the world is very, very difficult.
Or now they've signed San Clucas, the Clucas clan, we could call them. But a risky one, ladies and gentlemen. But if you take it on its comic value, I think you'll agree it was worth it.
Take it on its comic value,
Again with the signposting.
Yeah. Can't say anything these days, can you?
You're such an edgelord.
Oi, if you're not living on the edge, Pete, you're taking up too much space.
Is that 4chan you got on your computer there, Marcus? You filth bag.
That'll do.
That's very good.
Thank you. Yeah. Tammy Abraham.
Yes.
Is he going to keep them up?
Well, I wouldn't have thought he'd be able to do it on his own, though.
Okay. Yeah. But will Javier Hernandez be able to keep West Ham up? Because they're in a relegation fight already.
So, I'm pleased that in a particularly patchy week for me, talking about how much I'd rated different strikers...
Yeah.
I've stuck my neck out with Chicharito, and he did exactly what we were hoping he would do.
That's right.
Linickered it.
I wouldn't be surprised if West Ham's tactic is like try to purposefully get rebounds just so he can put them away.
You know, back in the sort of, I want to say sort of late 80s, early 90s, just off the top of the dome piece, you'd have a lot of strikers who would just poach and poach and poach. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can think of them, you know, to the cows come home. And there doesn't really seem to be a place for that type of forward in football now. Hernandez hasn't got that memo.
Well, there's not.
The goals he scored against Southampton were incredibly good.
It's the quick thinking, isn't it? Quick decision. Like, the second one was just beautiful.
It was unreal. I can't think of another forward.
Didn't he hit the ground?
No, exactly.
But it's strange because sound really reductionist, it was almost like a tap-in, but as you say, it just wasn't, though.
He had so much to do.
You guys remember, it'd probably be sepia-tinted, but Ian Rush, right? Ian Rush used to play where it would be... I mean, my 9-year-old mind would be like, how was the ball always going to Ian Rush?
And
it always used to happen. He's got about 5,000 goals in his career. Mm-hmm. Hernandez has got a bit of that about him. Yeah, he knows where to be. I mean, Marcus, as a poor forward yourself, you must be able to empathise with that.
Very much so, yeah. I never knew where it was going
to
go.
As a forward who was later in his career moved to right back, you must know what he was like.
It was extremely difficult to be in the right place when you were sitting on the bench as well. I think Hernandez, that classic sort of number. Number nine poacher. People say there's no place. There's always a place for that player in football, but just not at the top level sometimes.
And you can tell that the goal was particularly annoying for Fraser Forster because he got really pissed off. He made a really good save.
He did make a very good save. a wonderful ball in from Cresswell, I think it was.
But the undoubted highlight of that game, by the way, was Charlie Austin by accident hitting the Under Armour badge rather than the Southampton badge.
Oh, is that right?
It's a sign wrong. He's giving that one to Under Armour.
Was that in reference to his penalty? Because of course Charlie Austin got the scored the penalty. He said he was surprised that the referee gave it, although I think it probably was the right decision. But he said just before he took the kick, as I'm sure people saw on Match of the Day, that Mark Noble told him that Joe Hart knows where you're going to put it. So he said, I slotted it the other way. Then he was like, cheers for the advice there, because presumably he always puts it the other way. Yeah. I've not seen enough of Charlie Austin's penalties. I remember he hit one down the middle of a QPR.
That's backfired on Noble, that, isn't it? I think Charlie Austin's a really good striker. He's been unlucky with injuries.
They've got some okay
options.
Definitely
Premier League quality. But I worry for West Ham. To me, they don't really know what they're doing.
They don't. I mean, they've got some talent in that side, and with Hernandez in there, you know, he will hopefully not just feed off scraps for West Ham's sake, get some chances. But if he does, you know, he can score the goals. Arnautović being a straight red's not going to get a straight red card for a
so
stupid
silly. What's going on?
That's not going to help the cause, is it?
I was well surprised.
I mean, that's a daft thing to do, at any point in a career. But, like, you know, soon into his West Ham career. That's not exactly going to endear you to fans, is it? And you're letting your team down instantly.
It's like he's copying Zlatan, but just a bad bit.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was surprised that the referee really caught that, because it was on the turn of a play and the ball had already, you know, left the foot of the defender. It's just like, so pathetic.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
They've got Carroll.
Shelby-esque.
You think that with Carroll coming back, if he elects to play, if he keep Carroll fit, it's a big if. If he elects to play...
it's an if that's been there for 10 years.
yeah.
A 10-year if.
I feel like I'll still be saying this in the year 2050. if Carroll can get fit and he can play up front with Hernandez, I don't know if Bilic plans to do that, from what I've heard.
Big man, little man.
Bilic isn't really the most adept tactician, apparently, but if he plays them both, Hernandez might finally get even more joy. Because Carroll can be a battering ram.
He can, yeah. I'm interested to see what Pellegrini is going to do with Southampton this season, because they've been that kind of solid... slightly above average Premier League side for a.
They've just got a new investment as well.
Yeah, but they've got some decent players in that side. They've got some good options up front as well. And he's an interesting manager, Pellegrini. They've had a good start. They should have won on the opening day. They've got to win now. Okay, two home games against two sides that are not going to pull up too many trees, you wouldn't have thought, this season. But it should be interesting to see.
It's nice to see an investor that isn't Liverpool Football Club, really, isn't it?
He's not going to Barcelona, Peter.
No.
All right, that's no matter how much money they give him. After the break, we're going to talk about the Championship.
It was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just went, whoop.
Boop indeed, yeah. And that sounds like we need to do a plug, because this week, my goodness, we've got something good, Luke.
Yeah, Crooksy was on good form this weekend, actually.
He always is.
I didn't have time to compile all this stuff, but he was on very good form this week. We've got a big thing happened this weekend. We've got On the Continent, first episode of our new European football focus show. It was a big opening weekend in Europe, including both Milan clubs winning, Neymar literally walking around the Toulouse defence, and Sergio Ramos picking up yet another red card, surprising. Mm-hmm. For all this and more, the first episode of On the Continent with James Horncastle and Andy Brassel and, of course, Marcus and I drops this Wednesday. So subscribe now wherever you get your pods.
This Wednesday, people.
I'm excited.
Yeah, but that's nothing to do with football. Let's go to the Championship then, shall we? Two of the league's more seasoned managers are top of the pile, Mick McCarthy and Neil Warnock. Of course they are. McCarthy's absolutely loving it, and so he should be. But he said, two old farts who don't know F all about the game, eh? I'll have to get my iPad out.
Lovely.
Dad.
Grumpy and magnanimous at the same time.
He also said, though, if you want even more classic Mick, he also said, and this is a direct quote,
right.
To be honest, we could have lost all five games we've played this season, so I'm not getting carried away. Four in the league.
Whereas Neil Warnock is getting carried away, because Warnock said our fans are getting carried away because they haven't seen this for a while, so let's enjoy. I'm going to.
Yeah, I know.
Opposite. Would you rather be at a Neil Warnock party or a Mick McCarthy party?
God, there's a good cop, bad cop combination. I'd like to see that.
Not so fun cop.
Both parties would have that 80s cheese and pineapple.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Very much so. And probably a bowl full of keys.
First. Oh, come on. Come on. That's that was made it worse.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you were going to say, what's it?
What about this for Warnock? First time he's ever won the opening four games of the season as a coach, and he's been managing 36 years.
God, they could burst the Championship in bits.
But that is a mean feat, though.
He's improving.
No, but it's no mean feat, that, winning the first four games.
I know, it's great. Yeah, he's never done it before, Marcus.
Everybody get off his back. Cry out loud, eh? Blimey, O'Reilly. Who was it? Ipswich, that's right. Waghorn and Garner up front. McCarthy bought from Rangers, and McCarthy thinks that they sound like solicitors, Waghorn and Garner. I quite like that.
Is that why he bought them?
Maybe.
Double up, might need them.
Yeah. I need a new house and some players. So those two will come in very nicely indeed. Aston Villa, they got a Brucey bonus in the form of a hat-trick from Conor Hourihan.
I can't be the only... I can't have been the only person seeing Brucey trending on Twitter and thinking that Steve Bruce had been given the sack. Sadly, the great Bruce Forsyth departed us, but I thought it might have been... They can't have sacked Steve Bruce this early in the season. But they got a win to spite me.
Yeah, Green scored a lovely one for Villa. Really, but did.
And Aston Villa had something like 35% of the possession and still managed to score four.
Yeah,
Daniel Fite was really annoyed, as you'd probably imagine. But Redknapp did keep up his end of the Midlands bargain.
Well, if we're going to stay around in the Midlands for a minute, Birmingham lost 2-1 to Burton Albion after the match. Old Redders gave us this. I can only tell the truth. I mean, it's a great start.
Yeah.
Because to be fair, he shouldn't really have to caveat that. He always tells the truth.
Yeah. But my brother can only tell lies.
Which
you
one
have two questions.
Yeah, that's right.
when he said started off by saying I can only tell the truth, I thought, he's turned over a new leaf.
Yeah. You thought yourself, that's a lie.
Yeah.
But he said, that's nearly all the team that played last year. And no disrespect, he does mean disrespect, they had a fantastic manager in Gianfranco Zola, and they won 2 in 25 odd games.
And I like Franco Zola. He was a magnificent player, and he seems a lovely chap, but by no measure is he, in quotes, a fantastic player.
Yeah, but I think Redknapp knows that.
Yeah.
It needs surgery, and it's slowly, slowly.
What, his knee?
Also, it needs surgery slowly, slowly. He doesn't know how surgery works. They don't keep you carved open for as long as possible.
We've got a three-day operation.
We're doing open heart surgery. If you can find us another heart in a couple of weeks, that's fine. Absolutely.
We'll start the incision now. See what we end up with at the end of the week.
By the end of the window, you'll see a different Birmingham team.
Without me at the helm. Because they weren't giving me enough money.
Backroom staff, perhaps.
Literally, because they're going to buy 40 players.
Yeah.
A chance.
But this is the bit. I think this team will finish in the top six. Boom!
They're three points off it at the moment, this early stage. They've also signed serial loanee Carl Jenkinson.
Lovely.
He must be on some contract at Arsenal.
Yeah.
I mean, they've no also, one wants him permanently.
They've also got Cohen Bramall, who's the left-back they signed from non-league last year.
Yeah, he's young, though, isn't he?
22, maybe?
Oh, is he? Okay. But Carl Jenkinson, people must inquire about Carl Jenkinson all the time and then go, whoa!
Yeah.
£180,000 a week!
Well, this is the problem, isn't it, that a lot of clubs have. But they, you know, they've got players who end up surplus to requirements and they're on big contracts and they can't.
Jenkinson's on a world tour.
I would have thought Jenkinson would fit.
I wouldn't be surprised if he pats the Under Armour badge. He doesn't know where he's playing. Yeah. Probably thinks that's a club.
Just tears the Velcro off. Oh, who's the next time? It's Birmingham City.
Before we go to going for gold, Steve McLaren's got himself a new job.
Oh, yeah, hello.
It's absolutely wonderful. He's going to Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Yeah, I like the idea. I know Steve is a big figure of fun in this parish and beyond. But you've got a hand to him. He's not scared of going overseas.
Coaching consultant under Jordi Cruyff.
It sounds like a lovely old job.
Well, he's going to advise Jordi on coaching skills.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is great.
Yeah. He couldn't learn anything from his old man.
He's just going to read his dad's book feed him stuff from
McLaren
that.
McLaren said to him, "You've not had anyone to teach you."
I'll be like a father figure to you, Jordi.
Have you seen that the Carabao Cup is being drawn in Shanghai?
I love this.
At 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, it's great.
Which is insane.
I mean, we didn't talk about the first draw as well. The official draw listed Charlton as playing twice.
Yeah. who was putting it out? Who kept saying it was away when it was actually home as well?
It was about as bad as Rod Stewart doing it. Basically,
yeah. Big Rod the Rod.
Listen, do you know Big the Donald did it as well once?
Did he do the FA Cup draw?
Donald Trump did the Cup draw with Saint and Greavesy.
Yeah,
he did.
And it is absolutely horrible knowing what came next.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me.
Yeah, the reign of terror of Saint and Greavesy. Yeah.
So I'm not being funny.
There are great teams on both sides.
We're going to construct a draw. It's going to be a beautiful draw. Steve McLaren, now let's get back to the real stuff. He had been in the running for the Hearts job.
Okay.
Which is a great shame, because I would have loved to have heard his Scottish accent.
Yeah.
But it's not happening. There we are. And now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for Going for Glold.
It is time for Going for Glold.
Glold.
Right.
Do you want a score update before we get into it?
If you want to.
Speller probably wants to get a reminder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I would say, it's basically just point out the person who doesn't have any points.
We're on week three.
Right.
Week one. Week one was Jimmy Traore, Jim Campbell.
Yes.
Week two, Diego Forlán, Luke Moore.
Mm.
Week three.
Speller.
Week three.
Not off the mark.
Backing myself.
Is this going for gold, Speller's to Spurs to Wembley?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah.
If he did going for gold in a different location, he'd be fine. Getting amongst it.
Right. Are you ready, gentlemen? What happens is...
Where's that drum beat coming from? Yeah.
It's his heart.
Yeah.
So what I do is I throw out a load of clues pertaining to a secret footballer, and
you
guys have to buzz in. Yeah, but I've got to tell all the other people. You know, other people aren't ready. Oh, right. Let's go. Heads on. I started my career at Charlestown Lads Club.
Oh.
Good one.
Stop. Benny McCarthy.
Benny McCarthy. Nice to hear the name.
Just have a guess.
But no,
stop.
Incorrect.
Marcus, just to let you know, if you don't have a guess, you won't win.
Yeah, stop. Mark Fish.
Not Mark Fish, no. He was, last time we did this, Mark Fish came up a lot, along with Paolo Maldini. Between 2003 and 2008, I played for six clubs.
2003, 2008?
Yes. Stop. Benjani. No.
I was actually going to go stop. Yakubu.
No.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought you had it there.
Yeah.
Do you want to throw in a full name, Jim?
Stop.
Papa Booba Diop.
Papa Booba Diop. No. Including, these clubs included Villa, Royal Antwerp, Sheffield United and Burnley.
Stop.
He's got it.
Ronnie Woolwork.
It's not Ronnie Woolwork.
Oh! Thought I had it.
In 2012, I fell out with Paolo Di Canio, who called me rotten.
Stop. Eric Jemba Jemba.
No. I'm going to move on to the next clue.
Stop. Oh, this is based on not that clue.
Just answer the question.
Come on.
Say again.
Tom Heaton?
No. I was once papped in a casino lying on the floor covered in 50 pound notes.
Oh, that doesn't narrow it down.
That could be anyone.
Modern football. Stop. Is it Liam Ridgewell?
No. Very underwhelming footballers going on there. Yeah. I am married to a high street honey. Remember them?
Yeah, I do remember them vaguely, yeah.
Well, said High Street Honey used to go out with Paul Gascoigne and Stephen Taylor.
Well, that is a lineup. Good God, yeah.
Stephen Taylor bought a pit bull dog for her, even though they were on together for 4 months.
I love that even in Going for Gold, you've got weird tangents.
About Stephen Taylor.
Yeah.
I've got a real angle on this, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I'll give it away.
There's only two more clues, and one of them is incredibly obvious.
Okay.
And the other is less obvious. I might switch them around, because
yeah,
I haven't got it yet.
Do the less obvious one first.
I'm currently being held out of my squad for Matty Loughton.
People have got that now.
Yeah, I can't think. Yeah. I can't think. It's just the press.
Final clue. If you don't buzz in now, you're not going to win it.
I
once knocked out a £27 million footballer.
Stop. It's Phil Bardsley.
Phil Bardsley! Oh, yeah. Unlucky, well done, gentlemen. Unlucky. No, he doesn't get a point for that, does he?
Yeah, he's supposed to do.
Yeah. After the last day.
Yeah, of course he gets it.
All right, fine. All right.
After the last clue.
Listen, what do you think the last clue is for? Lord. It was a last minute equaliser. Yeah,
he doesn't get a goal at the last minute, does he? Of course he does.
Wait, we need the theme tune clean. When they're going
for the winner. Marcus.
Well, that spells you off the mark. It's all to play for now.
To be honest, I think probably most of the listeners had it there, but it's my point and not theirs. Now, I think that's it, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, let's get out of here.
What a way to finish on a golden glow by me. thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. Don't forget, of course, On the Continent is out on Wednesday. Mm. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Yeah, and you do have to reply. You have to subscribe to On the Continent separately, by the way. With the first episode on the Football Ramble channel, but you need to subscribe to the other channel, the dedicated On the Continent channel, for going forward after that. So yeah.
Oh, you're like a dealer or something. Give them the first one free.
Yeah.
Then you got to go out on the channel.
I said say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Peter.
Listen to On the Continent. It's good.
It is going to be very good. And of course, the preview show will be out on Friday as well. See you later, people.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.